Okay, this evening we're in Psalm 55. Psalm 55. I was just asking the Lord for guidance and wisdom and what to share, and this verse is one that I hadn't preached on for a long, long time. I don't know if I ever really preached a full message on a Sunday from this verse, and it's a very helpful, good verse. Psalm 55, verse number 22. Psalm 55, 22, cast thy burden upon the Lord, and he shall sustain thee. He shall never suffer the righteous to be moved. While building a shed, a father was carrying long, heavy poles to the various holes where he was going to put these poles up for his tool shed. And his young son came along and wanted to help. So the boy grabbed on the poles, and he's struggling and pulling and hurting himself. He just couldn't move them. He says, "Dad, I need help." So the father came over and he said, "Son, tell you what, you carry the end where you were at and I'll carry the middle." And of course the father, he carried a bulk of the load. The son was able to carry the end and felt good about helping out dad. But you know, that's really what God wants to do for us. When we get burdened, we can't carry the load, God says, "I want you to call on me and I'll carry the heavy load. I'll carry the middle of it. You can hang on the end. But I'll carry the load for you." And so, it's a good lesson for us to remember. If you're struggling with a burden, we need to ask the Lord to help and let him carry the load for us. It says, "Cast your burden upon the Lord. He shall sustain thee. He shall never suffer the righteous to be moved." Tonight I want us to take a closer look at this verse and the wonderful promise that God gives us here. Notice with me, first of all, the promise was given to the righteous. Right? He says, "Cast thy burden upon the Lord, he shall sustain thee, he shall never suffer the righteous to be moved." Alright, so he's speaking to the righteous. Not all Bible promises are for everybody. You know, sometimes people can get themselves into trouble and just claim any old promise that they find in the Bible. Well, that's a little bit dangerous. Because some promises just plain aren't to us. In fact, there's a lot of the promises that are very specifically spoken to a person. One example, pretty obvious example, when God sent an angel to speak with Zacharias, the husband of Elizabeth, and he told him that his wife would bear a son. That was a direct promise from God. But it doesn't belong to you and me. All right? It belonged to Zacharias. However, there's other verses in the scriptures, like Matthew chapter 11, verse 28, when Jesus was speaking to the multitudes, and he said there in Matthew 11, 28, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." He said, that's for everybody. "Come unto me, all ye that labor." Doesn't matter what your labor is, doesn't matter what your burden is. In the context, he was probably talking about salvation, but it can certainly apply to other burdens after we know the Lord is our Savior. So he says, "Come unto me, all ye that labor." So that's a universal promise. So as you're studying the Bible, check it out and ask yourself, now is this a universal promise or is this a general promise or a specific promise? You know, much of the Psalms, not all of it, but much of the Psalms is written in a general way. The Proverbs are written in a general way for the most part. So that we can go to those verses and say, that verse is a help and God said it to God's people, and I'm one of God's people, and therefore it applies to me. So we can benefit from that, but that's a good thing to check it out. But here, David very clearly tells us that he's writing to the righteous. He's speaking to the righteous. Now the promise then is just for those who are righteous. But who's the righteous? Who are the righteous? You know, that's another good question to ask yourself. The root word comes from a word that means one who walks a straight path. The righteous, one who walks a straight path. Another lexicon defines it as one who conforms to a standard. There's a particular standard. This is what is right, and we conform to that standard. You know, can you imagine trying to build a house, and if every carpenter and every worker that came had a different tape measure, and they were all a little bit different. And they all measured it in their own way. And they say, "I measured it exactly. It said exactly what I said." But they were all different because they weren't a standard. And so it is in life. to be righteous, there's got to be a standard. And we all know what that standard is. That's God and His Word. So God says, the righteous person is one who obeys and follows God and His Word. And so, that is what is righteous. Before we can claim this promise, we must first examine our hearts to make sure there's nothing between our soul and the Savior. So if He says we need to be righteous, we need to be right with God before we can cast our burdens upon the Lord, then the obvious thing that we need to do is just say, Lord, remember the verse there in the end of Psalm 139, those two verses? Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. See if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way of everlasting. Good verses to promise, to pray. And so, Lord, search my heart. Is there anything between us? I want to be able to cast my burden upon You. I want to be able to claim this promise. I want You to help me through this troubled time. Is there anything in my life that shouldn't be there? We examine ourselves, make sure that there's nothing there. If we find something, God reveals something. Obviously, the thing we do is we run to God and claim 1 John 1:9. We confess our sins. He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Or that verse in Proverbs, basically the same thing, Proverbs 28:13, He that covereth his sins shall not prosper, but whoso confesseth and forsaketh them shall have mercy. So we go to God, we get it taken care of, so we can be righteous. So God says this promise is a genuine promise, but it's a promise given to the righteous. Secondly, I want us to see here that this promise calls for action. He says that we are to cast our burden upon the Lord. It applies to those with a burden. Right? Burdens come in all different sorts, and they're as common as flies. You think about flies. You know, there's little tiny flies, like those little pesky fruit flies, tiny little things flying around, irritating you. And then you go camping, and we're out in the country, and there's those great big flies that are, I call them horse flies. I don't know what they call them around here, but those big ones that are kind of greenish looking, and they bite like a lion. Oh! So there's all kinds of flies. I did a quick Google search to see where the biggest flies are, and I don't know, there's debates over where the biggest flies are, but most of them say that it was a fly that was about, you know, I don't remember exactly how, 6 centimeters, I think, maybe. I don't know. It was a great big huge fly. Big old ugly looking thing. But flies come in all different sorts of sizes, and so do burdens. Burdens are cares. They weigh us down. They trouble our hearts. They afflict our bodies. They occupy our thoughts. They rob our sleep. They disturb our peace. And perhaps worst of all, Satan uses them to tempt us to worry and distrust God. Makes it hard. It's interesting that the word here speaks of that which is given, a burden. You look up the Hebrew definition of that word burden, and it means that which is given. And I thought, what's that mean? And the more I thought about it, I thought, you know, the burdens that you see highlighted in the Bible were burdens that were given, most of them given by Satan, allowed by God. Job, of course, would be one that stands out right away. Satan gave Job physical and emotional burdens. Jacob's sons, through the instrumentality of the devil, gave Joseph many burdens. His master's wife gave him burdens. His prison term gave him burdens. King Saul gave David many burdens as he sought his life. Even Jesus' disciples were given burdens like the storm on the sea that was filling the boat, to the point where they were convinced they were going to the bottom if Jesus didn't do something. That thing was filling full of water. That was a burden. Where did it come from? Well, Jesus allowed it. Did Jesus cause it? Probably not, but He certainly allowed it. The devil probably was trying to get him to fear and doubt and trying to get rid of Jesus. He knew he was in the boat too. The devil's cunning. He's a deceitful enemy. But the same is true in our lives. Satan wants to get us to doubt God and worry. And he says here that we're to cast our burdens on the Lord. The word cast means to throw. It's the idea of throwing something that you don't want back. It's like throwing garbage in the bin. Most of us, unless you've made a mistake, most of us don't take the garbage, take it over the bin, throw it in, and then go, oh, that looked kind of good. I didn't see that. We don't usually do that, okay? Normally, once you throw it in the bin, it's done. You don't go picking through it again and see as though something you missed. So he says that you cast it in and you leave it there. A lot of examples in the Bible of the use of this word. I'm going to give you a few of them just to help you to see the idea of this word cast. The scriptures say that Hagar, remember Abram's secondary wife, Hagar cast Ishmael under a shrub. Now Ishmael wasn't in a little infant in arms. He was, you know, probably almost a teenager. But she said, but he was getting faint, he was weary, he couldn't walk, so she pushed him under the shrub to get him in some shade. Joseph was cast into the pit by his brothers. Pharaoh ordered the newborn Jewish boys to be cast into the river. Moses cast his rod on the ground and it became a serpent. To help Joshua in battle, the Lord cast down great hailstones on the enemies. Jeremiah's enemies cast him into the dungeon. Now, from these examples, we can see that to cast means to throw something and release something and not get it back out. Satan does not want us to cast our burdens on the Lord. And yet, as Christians, we are to cast our burdens on the Lord. We're to release them there. We're to give them to Him and not pick them up again. That's not always easy, but that's what God wants. But not Satan. He doesn't want that. When tempted to worry, what are we supposed to do? That's a good question. Remembering it and doing it is even harder than knowing what it is. Well, several things that I think can be of help. Number one, we need to spend extra time focusing on the Bible. Spend time in the Word. Go back to the Bible. Spend time in the Word. Meditate on it. Study it. Search it. Pray over it. Another thing that's a great help is to review the character of God. What is God like? Can I trust God? What kind of character does He have? Is He helpful? Is He merciful? Is He kind? And, you know, if you go through the Bible, it is amazing. I started doing this. I certainly didn't get an exhaustive list yet. But for several weeks, I went through searching for verses that dealt with God is this and God is that. And you can even Google or do a Bible search on God is and see what you come up with. There's a whole bunch of them like that. God is love. God is peace. You know, there's all kinds of things. But I had a whole little booklet of all these verses that are about God. Good study for you. What is God like? You know, when we're facing troubles and trials and burdens, it's important to remember what God's like. We got such short memories, and maybe I'm just talking to myself. Maybe it's me that's got the short memory. But, you know, we know that God is a good God. We know that He's faithful. We know that He can do all things. We know all those things. And then when the trouble comes, we say, oh, what am I going to do? God, are You able to do this? And we need to go back and look at His character. So first of all, spend time in the Word. Number two, as you're spending time in the Word, look at God's character. Number three, pray, pray, pray. You know, it's great to pray with your spouse if you're able, or pray with a godly friend, but pray for God's help. Number four, strive to think about good things. You know, the thing that gets us into trouble is our thoughts. You know, that's why there in Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7, he says, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God, and the peace of God that passes all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. The next verse, what's it say? It says, finally, my brethren, whatsoever things are true, what sort of things are honest, what sort of things are just, what sort of things are pure, what sort of things are lovely, what sort of things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. What was he saying? He was saying, we can cast our burden on the Lord. He can give us peace. And if we don't think right, we're going to be right back at it again in a few minutes. Because that's just the way we are. We start thinking wrong and we'll think, yeah, but I gave it to God, but that's not going to fix the problem and it's not going to go away. And what am I going to do and how am I going to solve this problem? And we're right back into worrying again. He says, cast it on the Lord. He'll give us peace. And then we got to think right. And the things that can help us in thinking right is occupying our mind with good things, like maybe listen to the audio Bible. Just maybe you're working and you can just play the Bible audio and let it read the scriptures to you. Or spend time listening to godly music that will edify your soul and build you up. Or listen to a Christian audio book. I find that very helpful to me. To just listen to, sometimes when I'm burdened about things or there's problems and I've got conflicts and there's all the stress and I'm trying to rest, sometimes I'll just put on an audiobook and something not even related and just listen to it and try to rest. And it occupies my mind so my mind doesn't run back to the problems again. And I can focus. Or listen to some good sermons. There's all kinds of things, but we need to keep our mind occupied. Number 5, keep yourself busy serving the Lord. Got to keep busy. Idle hearts get us in trouble. When we just sit around and we're not keeping busy, we end up thinking things that hurt us instead of help us. So keep busy. Now, not only are we to cast our burdens on the Lord, but God commands us in Galatians chapter 6 and verse 2, he says, bear ye one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. God says we need to bear each other's burdens. And you know, we tend to be isolated type people. We don't want to tell anybody our problems lest they think that we're not as nice as we are. We put on a front, and we put on that front, and the only people that really know the real us is our intimate family that we can't hide it from. And I'm not saying we should go, wear a big sign, I told a lie yesterday, or that kind of stuff. We're not out there advertising our faults. But at the same time, God does tell us that we're to bear one of those burdens. And if you have a burden, and you don't tell even your preacher, how am I supposed to know you got a burden? I might see a frown on your face and think, oh, they got indigestion. But, I don't know what it causes. Yeah, but if we share our burdens, then we can pray for one another and help one another. And sometimes that's hard for us to do. But God tells us we're to bear one another's burdens, so we ought to be able to do that. And it takes work. And obviously, this means you ought to be discreet in sharing our burdens. I mean, we don't just blurt out everything to everybody. Obviously, that's not wise. But sharing with a godly friend that can be of help to us. And then there's a very important thing for us to remember here. Worry never eases the burden. It always adds to the weight of the burden. I don't know why I don't learn that. But worry never eases the burden. It always makes it heavier. Always. Doesn't matter what the burden might be. If I sit there fretting about it, then I've wasted time. I've hurt myself physically. I've got myself emotionally distressed. I've raised my blood pressure. I'm all shook up. And it was all because I worried about it instead of giving it to God. It just added to the problem. The problem's still there. It hasn't changed a bit. I haven't even been able to honestly pray about it because I'm so stressed about it. And so worry never eases the burden. It always adds the weight to the burden. And when I begin to worry, the Lord often reminds me of something I read about Hudson Taylor. Hudson Taylor was a missionary in China. And there was a time when there was a lot of the communists were threatening and even killing a lot of the Christians, And there was a time when some of the workers, the Chinese workers in one of his villages way out in the bush, he got word that they had been attacked and that they were under threat and their lives were in danger. And the story goes that Hudson Taylor was heard that morning singing in the house, "Jesus, I am resting, resting in the joy of what thou art." And somebody said to him, "Mr. Taylor, how can you be singing when you know the danger those people are in?" And he says, "What do you want me to do, worry?" And we need to just trust the Lord. That's what we need. And it's a good reminder, and the Lord often reminds me of that when I start fretting. But then the third I want us to notice here is that the promise gives us a dual assurance. It says, "Cast thy burden upon the Lord, and number one, he shall sustain thee." He shall sustain thee. Who's he? Well, who's the Lord? Lord's all in caps, refers to Jehovah. Jehovah God will sustain you. Cast your burden on Jehovah and he will sustain you. The word sustain is, in English, I looked up an English definition of the word sustain. It means to supply the necessities and support. Pretty good definition. The Hebrew word actually gives it a little bit of broader and richer meaning. Three different lexicons that I looked at. One of them, the first one said that it means to provide what is needed to make someone or something whole or complete. So it's giving something that's going to make us whole or complete. The second definition was clasping or holding on to something. The third definition had several different words like support, nourish, restrain, maintain. So these are the ideas of these words. It gives us the idea here that God is, when he sustains the burden, he provides what is needed to make us complete. He holds us in his mighty hand, and he nourishes and maintains our welfare. He cares for us. Peter expressed it well there in 1 Peter 5:7, "Casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you." Jesus does care. So he says, Jehovah will sustain us. And he also says, Jehovah will never suffer us to be moved. The word suffer there literally means to give. He will never give it to us. He'll never give us this response. God did not give us that inclination to worry. It didn't come from God. It was not his plan. He says he will never suffer the righteous to be moved. The word moved is interesting. It means to be shaky, stumbling, and falling. He will never allow us to start shaking, stumbling, and falling. It is used of wavering, wobbling action or response to various situations. If we begin to wobble and worry about our burden, that response did not come from God. Wavering and wobbling, and you know what that's like. You know, just, I can't do anything because I'm so worried. And we're wavering and wobbling and stumbling around because we can't even think straight because we're fretting and worrying. That response isn't God's response. We've probably all been there, done that. But it's not from God. It's not what God wants. The words to our chorus, "Cast Your Burdens," are rooted from this text here in Psalm 55 and also 1 Peter 5:7. Those words, many of you know the chorus, but if you don't, it's "Cast your burden on the Lord and he will keep you. He has promised he will never ever leave you. He will always be there ready to uphold you. Cast your burden on the Lord, for Jesus cares. When discouraged, ask the Lord to make you cheerful. Seek the comfort of the Lord when you are tearful. Trust the Lord with all your heart when you are fearful. Cast your burden on the Lord, for Jesus cares." That's a song that you need to memorize and sing regularly. I know that I have it memorized, and I need to sing it more often. I do sing it quite often, but I need to sing it always. Cast your burden on the Lord and He will keep you. He has promised He will never ever leave you. He will always be there ready to uphold you. Cast your burden on the Lord, for Jesus cares. When the next burden flies into your life, whether it's a tiny one or a huge one, you need to run to this verse. Ponder God's instructions and promises that He gives us here. Cast your burden on the Lord. He says, I'll sustain you. I'll never suffer you to be moved if you're righteous. We need to cast our burden on Him. Throw it over on Him. Don't pick it up again. Use the time to grow spiritually. Spend quality time with the Lord. Spend more time in the Word. Increase our time in prayer. Follow God's admonition there to let godly friends help us carry the burden. But never forget, God cares for you. God cares. So that verse again, he says, cast your burden on the Lord, and He shall sustain thee. He shall never suffer the righteous to be moved.